Just want to share a couple things with you this morning before we continue worship. I want to look at the significance of the insignificant. The significance of the insignificant. I'm going to have some verses, Lindsay will be showing up here in a moment. But this past week, you know, praying, God, what do you want me to share? What do you want me to share? What do you want me to share? And I was walking into Wawa, getting ready to go up to the Navy Yard, on the Wawa down here. And I was getting ready to grab a drink, you know, to keep awake on the drive up there. And as I opened the first door to go into the Wawa, on the right-hand side, I always look to see if there's anybody there. And there was no one there. I get to the second door, and the Lord just impressed on me, look again. And I turn around, and there was this young lady about this tall, in her probably mid-20s, you know, blonde hair with some highlights and a ring, one of those, I don't know what they call those rings that just sit there, but one of those. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you, otherwise I would have opened the other door. And she said, don't worry about it, I'm used to everyone overlooking me because I'm small. And as I walked around for a moment, of course, you know, I'm a little slow. The Lord has to keep telling me things several times. And it was kind of like, hey, Steve, you know, that was what I wanted you to get. What? Do you remember the person you just opened the door for? Yes. What did she say? She's used to everyone overlooking her. I was like, wow. Lord, no one is to feel insignificant. Because everyone you created to be significant. Because every one of us is made in the image of God. Every one of us is made special in the eyes of God. There's not one of us that God does not love. Could you put the next slide up, please? No one should be overlooked. You see, every person who comes through that door or every person we meet outside of those doors is someone who is significant. The world will tell them they're insignificant, but the Bible tells them that they are significant. Can we go to the next slide, please? Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. This is awesome. Next one, please. John 3:16. We know this one, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Next slide, please. And just keep going until I say stop. So the end of John 3. Yeah. Who could you, well, a little too fast. Go back. As I read them, I meant 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's Son, one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Or another translation puts it, clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Now, the next passage I've always separated from this passage until I realize what it's talking about. He says, those who've been doing in darkness, right? They don't want their deeds to be seen. They don't want them to be known because their deeds are evil. So they reject the light. But God is saying those who walk in truth are the ones who are going to show the works of God. There is a lady in Samaria that Jesus says now he had to go through Samaria. This lady was somebody that was overlooked by everybody in society. She was considered to be insignificant. She was at the lower end of society. She was, first of all, she wasn't a pure Jew. She was a Samaritan. She was only half Jewish. Therefore, she wasn't really accepted by the Jews. Now she has had five husbands, and the man she's living with now is not her husband. So she's rejected by her own people. She's rejected by the Jews. She's rejected by the Samaritans. She cannot come out in the cool of the morning to get water because no one wants her around them. She has to get the water in the heat of the day. And everybody kind of looks at her with disdain, and that she is an insignificant part of society. And she really wants to hide the truth of who she is. But then there comes this guy named Jesus who had to go through Samaria. He purposely went out of his way. This is a place that the Jewish people would not go. They would not travel through Samaria. They would go twice as long to go around Samaria. But Jesus tells his disciples, no, we're going through Samaria because there is somebody who everybody thinks is insignificant, but who I find great significance in. Can I have the next verse, please? I love how Jesus starts this conversation with her about, please draw water from the well. She's like, why are you asking me? I got nothing to draw from, blah, 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 blah. And then finally it gets down to where the rubber meets the road. You see, the world tells you you got to hide who you are. Even church will tell you, hide who you are, because if people really knew what you have done or really knew the truth about you, you wouldn't be accepted. But what does Jesus tell her to deal with? He tells her to deal with the truth. Think about this. He told her, go call your husband and come back. It almost seems like when you first look at it and you're first reading it, could you imagine her expression on her face when he says this? And she says, well, I have no husband. She's trying to still stay in the darkness. She's still trying to hide. But I love how Jesus in his kindness said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands and the man that you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. I want you to catch this. Her significance is found in her story. And her story to be told has to be told in truth. You see, a lot of times we get stuck in here, and we get stuck when we go out there to our jobs, to our workplaces, even to our own families, and we think we have to hide our story of what God has been doing in our life or what we've gone through. And God is like, no. The power of your testimony is in the truth of your story. Next slide, please. And he tells her later, he says, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship him in spirit. Truth. 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 Not hiding. You see, Satan wants you to believe that the only way you can be significant is people don't know your real story. And God says, no, the only way you really bring light to the darkness is by telling the truth of your story. That is when it becomes significant. So one of the great things learning in through the seven pillars is keep being honest with yourself about what really has happened in your life, what really has gone on, because the truth of what has really happened is what sets you free. But let me tell you this, it's what sets others free too. You may think you're insignificant, but God says, no, you're significant. And you're significant because of your story that he's telling through you. Next slide, please. She goes into town. Now remember, this is a woman of quite ill repute. And she goes into town and she says, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" She didn't go back into town and say, "Hey, guess what? I am now perfect, and everything in my life is now perfect." Is that what she said? She said, "Woo, man, you know this whole big mess that I've lived? He knows it all. And any of you who are part of my mess, he knows about it." And that's where the significance of the story comes in. Because the truth, what did Jesus say? The truth will set you free. Worship me in spirit and in truth. That young lady who walked in the Wawa has a story. A significant story that God wants to redeem. And whatever your story is here this morning, God wants to redeem it. You see, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But you can't know the truth until you're ready to deal with your own truth of who you are. Go on, please. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald, an apostle. I'm telling the truth." Wow, there's that word again, right? "I'm telling the truth. I am not lying. And a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles." God took this insignificant woman in Samaria and made her significant with the truth. The truth about herself and the truth about him. And God wants to do the same through you. The fascinating part of the story that we didn't cover, didn't read because we're trying to make this short and very condensed, is that she went to town and it says that many, what? Believed. She told the story and she didn't hide what had happened. She told the whole story. Her testimony was used to redeem a whole city. The one who was overlooked helped redeem a whole city. You may be here this morning and you're going, "I'm not very significant." And God is going, "Yes, you are. You have no idea the power of the truth of your story. When you tell the truth of who you've been and now who you are in Christ, it transforms cities." I was listening to Chris Valentin this past week, and he just talked about the fact that, well, he just was quoting Jesus, so that's good, right? You are the light of the world. You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. You may think you're insignificant, but God says, "No, you are a bright, burning candle for me." Don't hide it just in church. Just don't share your testimony in church. But go out into all the world around you and just be completely honest about who you are and what God has done. That is the transforming power that transforms the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the day I was saved, April 28th, 1982, when I was 16, I knew God appointed me to be a herald of the gospel. And you know what? The moment you were saved, you know what he did to you too? He appointed you. Because you are significant. I want you to do something. I want you to get with somebody right near you. And I just want you to look them in the eye and tell them, "You are significant. And you have a powerful testimony for the gospel of Jesus Christ." Can you do that to somebody by you? You are significant, and you have a powerful testimony for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the truth. Now, what I want you to do, we're going to stand up and continue in worship, but then as we get going, I want you to pray for that person you just told they were significant, and pray that God will send them forth from this place. Because what have we been learning from Jay these past few weeks? That we are sent out. We want to see a broken world healed and people launched into their destiny. This is your destiny. To go out and be a significant proclaimer of the gospel of Christ. So pray for one another, and then we'll continue in worship. Those of you who feel, come up here and pray, seek God's face, whatever God wants to do. If you, no one prayed for you, come up here and I will pray for you. Let's stand.